Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. We're going through Hebrews chapter 11 and we're learning great lessons about faith in God. And we need that today. There are so many people who do not have faith and trust and confidence in God. And this lesson, I hope, will encourage us to have that kind of faith. We've entitled our series of lessons, Though He Be Dead, Yet He Speaks, taken from Hebrews chapter 11 and the account of Abel in verse 4. These men and women in Hebrews chapter 11 from the Old Testament, they're dead. And they were dead at the time that the author wrote this book. They're still dead, of course, but they speak. They speak from the grave, as it were. Not literally. We don't literally hear their voice inside of our head. The dead do not talk to us that way, but they do speak. They speak in their example, their story, their life, what is recorded on the pages of Scripture, and they speak loud and clear that we need to be obedient to God. They would say to us today, it is worth it. Whatever sacrifice, whatever command, whatever God wants us to do, whatever He asks of us, it is worth it in this life so that we can have a home in heaven one day. They are speaking to us, and they are living words and messages, and I'm trying to bring those words and messages out on our series here on the Let the Bible Speak program, and I'm so glad that you've joined us. I'm always excited about people who want to learn and grow and study and put God's Word into practice in their lives. And if I can help you to do that, if I can help you to obey the gospel, to put on Christ in baptism, please contact me. I would love to study with you about that. If I can help you to worship with New Testament Christians in Clarksville, let me help you to do that. If I can help you with your marriage or personal issues or family issues, let me help you with God's Word to do that. That's why I'm here. That's why I preach and teach each Sunday morning. That's why the good Christians at Warfield Boulevard exist, to be a light in this community, to be salt, to be sharing the Word of God, and we want to help ourselves and help others get to heaven. That's our goal. Please let me help you to do that. Well, we've made it down to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23, and we have talked about different Old Testament characters who had faith in God, and I want to continue that with Moses now and his parents in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23. What are these dead individuals speaking to us today? Through their life, through their words, through their example, through their actions, what are they saying? Well, let's pick up the reading in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents, because they saw that he was a goodly child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. This account, of course, is taken from Exodus chapter 1 and 2. There was a Pharaoh, when the Israelites were down in Egypt, there was a Pharaoh, a new king, a new Pharaoh, who didn't know Joseph. And we're told two things about him. He knew that Israel, the people of Israel, the Jews, were multiplying, and he didn't want to have war with them. He didn't want them to rebel and have war. And so two things he did. First of all, he increased their labor as slaves and made them build cities from their slavery. And so he put them to hard work, constantly keeping them exhausted and tired and working and oppressed. The second thing he did was he wanted to kill the male children. And so he told the midwives to kill the male children when they are born. Well, they refused to do that. Now, the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 11 that Moses' parents refused to do that by faith. They had faith in God. But the midwives also did that very thing. Exodus 1:17, but the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them. but saved the men children alive. And then in chapter 2, 1 and following, Moses' parents, when Moses' mother gave birth to a male child, they did the same thing. They did not listen to the king. And so our first message from the dead this morning is this. They would say to us today, fear God, keep God's commandments, do not do what man says. When man commands something that is contrary to what God wants, you do what God wants, not what man wants. And even if it's politics, people in government, people in local government, state government, national government, sometimes you have to engage in what's called civil disobedience. There's a few examples of this in the scripture. Sometimes civil government run by wicked and ungodly men and women, they will say, you need to do something, and God says, don't do that. Or they will say to you, don't do something, and God says, do it. It's the opposite. And you have to learn to fear God. To fear God. Exodus 1:11, they feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them. Who do we respect and reverence and fear more? God in heaven or local government? Okay? State government, national government. So the government said, kill the baby boys. And they said, nope, we're not going to do it. And with regard to the faith of Moses' parents, we read that in chapter 2 of Exodus. And there went out a man of the house of Levi and took a wife of the daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch. And she put the child therein and laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off, Miriam, to know what would be done. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. And her maidens walked along the riverside and saw the ark among the flags and sent her handmaid to fetch it. And she opened it and saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maiden went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, because I drew him out of the water. But the Hebrew writer gives us a little bit of that background, and that is that Moses was hid because his parents had faith in God. And then look at this. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. Let that sink in. People fear local government, state government, national government. They fear it rather than doing what God says to do. And we have other examples of this. In Daniel chapter 3, Daniel's friends, some of those that were taken into Babylonian captivity, are told, you need to bow down to this idol. They wouldn't do it. And they were thrown into a fiery furnace. So that's a case of you need to do something. And they said, no, we're not going to do it because that would violate God's word. A few chapters later in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel is told not to pray. He's told not to do something that God wanted him to do, which is pray. And he refused that. And he was thrown in the lion's den. In Acts chapter 4 and 5, we have another example of this, where Peter and John are told not to preach in the name of Jesus Christ. They ignored that local civil order, and they did it anyway, and they were thrown in jail for it. When they were let out, they went right back to preaching in the name of Jesus. And there is the well-known statement in Acts chapter 5 and verse 28, where Peter and John say, we must obey God rather than men. And so what Moses' parents would say today by faith means sometimes going against civil government when they are asking you to do something that you're not supposed to do, when they're telling you not to do something that you are supposed to do. We must fear God rather than men. And we must refuse a commandment, even if it brings some sort of punishment or retribution or backlash or somebody saying something about you or the word gets out in the community about this or that. You can't worry about any of that. You have to do what God says to do. Now, we've taken a lot of that for granted in our country, where we typically have a government that will not infringe one way or the other on our religious rights and what we believe the Bible teaches. We're slowly getting away from that. I hope we will continue to have a country that works in that regard. But I have seen changes over the past few years that indicate we are moving in a direction where, at least in some states, some local governments, some state governments, and in the case of national government, they are going to be asking us to do things that we're not supposed to do, or don't do things that we are supposed to do. And unfortunately, I believe that down the road, we're going to have to practice this Hebrews chapter 11 more with regard to not being afraid of the king's commandment. I hope that's not the case. I've seen some indications of it, and we need to pray to God that we put the brakes on that real quick. Otherwise, we will end up like some other modern nations around the world that are very much opposed to Christianity and make laws counter to Christianity. But they would say, obey God rather than men. That's what they would say. And that's what their faith continues to say. Let's keep reading in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. What else do the dead say? Well, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. We just left off at the end of that last account there in chapter 2 that he became Pharaoh's daughter. But later he makes a choice to leave Egypt and leave Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God. This is when he associated with Israel to bring them out of Egypt. When he went to Pharaoh and speaking on behalf of God said, let my people go. From that point onward, he made a choice to side with the Jews and bring them out of Egypt, first with the 10 plagues and then the Exodus. And he made a choice, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, accounting the reproach of Christ greater than the riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked unto the recompense of reward. He made a choice. He would say, make choices. Make choices. Faith makes choices. Faith makes the choice to be on God's side, even if it means giving up nice things, money, power, prestige, earthly honor, society, social things, wealth. Give that up and be on God's side, because ultimately you'll have a home in heaven which is far greater than any of that that you gave up. Paul said that in Philippians 3. He talked about all the things that he gave up from an earthly standpoint in order to be a Christian. And then he goes on to say, I'm pressing on toward the goal of the high calling of Christ. He knew that he was headed to heaven, and it's going to be far greater than what anything that he gave up individually or added up altogether. It's the same with Moses. Moses would say, make choices to be on God's side. And number two, even if it means bringing ill treatment with the people of God. And so Pharaoh didn't like what he was doing. The Egyptians didn't like what he was doing. And later, there's going to be problems when they're wandering through the wilderness. Moses is going to be given all kinds of grief, even from his own people. people. There's all kinds of problems that he's going to face from the outside and from the inside, but he kept his eyes on the reward. Looking, he looked unto the recompense of reward. He kept his eyes on the goal, not just on the goal of taking Israel to Canaan land. He died before they entered into Canaan land. He saw it from afar, but he kept his eye ultimately on heaven. And serving God, he wanted to go to heaven. And so, when he was grown up, friends, we got to grow up and make some choices. And so many people today are just thinking about, well, you know, I'm safe in my job and I'm safe in this and my marriage and my family and my house and my money and my car. I don't want to step out and be something different like a Christian. Make the choice to be a Christian. Even if it brings negative consequences to your life, it's going to be worth it because you get to go and be with God in heaven. And when you think about, well, I'm giving up some things. Verse 26, he gave up the riches and the treasures of Egypt. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen says that he was trained in the education of Egypt. There were the beautiful sights and sounds, and he had the education, and no doubt being the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he lived very well. He ate very well. But he made a choice. And sometimes we need to grow up. And I don't mean just chronologically. I mean in maturity, in our thinking, and make the right choice to serve God. Moses would say, it's worth it. Make the choice. It is absolutely worth it. Moses was one of the persons that Jesus appeared to on the Mount of Transfiguration. I believe that Moses made it to heaven. I believe that Moses is going to be in heaven. And it started with a choice. Friends, please make that same choice today. Let's keep reading also about Moses and some more about his faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 27, by faith he, Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. This is similar to what we learned with regard to his parents. His parents were not afraid of the king's commandment, and when he grew up, he did not fear the wrath of the king. When Moses in Exodus chapter 7 begins to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go, speaking on behalf of God's people. And he begins these 10 plagues. Pharaoh didn't like that. Pharaoh resisted. Pharaoh didn't like that. And when they try to cross the Red Sea, Pharaoh sends his army after them to get them back. But Moses didn't fear any of that. And he would say, don't worry about what some individual around you thinks or feels. Worry about what God wants. God came in Exodus chapter 3. Moses had, after killing an Egyptian for killing a Hebrew, Moses fled down to the land of Midian. And there meets a man, Reuel or Jethro. He marries one of his daughters. He becomes a shepherd with him for about 40 years. And when he's called to come back in Exodus 3 in the burning bush, the well-known story of the burning bush, God says, come, bring my people out. In Exodus 3 and 4, Moses offers up some excuses why he can't do that. And God says, I don't accept any of those excuses. You and your brother are going to lead my people out. Well, Moses eventually agrees to that and goes and does that work. And when he goes back, he faces opposition with Pharaoh. He even faces some initial opposition with his own people in chapter 5 and 6. And then in chapter 7 of Exodus, the 10 plagues begin where God works through Moses to smite Egypt with these miraculous plagues to prove that God is in control, not Pharaoh. And Moses is on the wrathful end of the king, but he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He kept focusing on God. He had come to know God at the burning bush, and he took his sandals off. He was standing on holy ground, and he comes to know God, and he begins to focus on God, not Pharaoh. And what a great lesson that is. And so the dead would say, make a choice. Forsake things and don't worry about what people around you are going to say or do, even if they're angry at you. You endure. You keep your eyes on obeying God and serving God. That's what Moses would say. But what else would Moses say? What else is he telling us today? Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover and sprinkling of the blood, that the destroyer of the firstborn should not touch them. This, of course, is now the last of the 10 plagues, and it brings us up to Exodus chapter 12. And God says the firstborn child will not die if you sacrifice the Passover lamb and put the blood on the lintel or doorpost, the sides of the door going into your house. And there are other things that they needed to do along with that, what became known as the Passover feast and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And Moses and faithful Israelites did that. And when they did that, they were spared the death of the firstborn. And so, Exodus chapter 12, verse 21, then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you lambs according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. So there's rules and conditions and stipulations. And Moses is telling us today, do these things. Do whatever God says to do to keep from dying. And friends, we're all going to die physically. It is appointed unto man once to die, then comes the judgment. Provided Jesus doesn't come again, we're all going to, in our lifetime, we're all going to die. But we can be spared spiritual death, the second death in hell fire, if we will apply the blood of the Lamb. And the blood of the Lamb for us is Jesus. John the Baptist says in John 1, behold, the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sin of the world. And in the book of Revelation, Jesus is called the Lamb of God. And we've got to apply his blood. He's our Passover, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5. And Moses would say, do it. Do whatever you're supposed to do. If it means applying the blood to the sides of the door, if it means staying inside your house, do what it takes to do to avoid death. That's what Moses would say. For Jehovah will pass through, verse 23, and smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two sides of the doorpost, Jehovah will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your house to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you are come to the land which Jehovah will give you, according as he has promised, that you shall keep this service. So it wasn't a one and done. They did it each year. They did it this time to avoid death. And then they did it each year after that to remember the avoidance of death. And when your children, verse 26, say, what mean ye by this service? You shall say, it is the sacrifice of Jehovah's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. Friends, God is going to do some smiting in the judgment day. And if you want to be delivered from that, you've got to have the blood of the Lamb applied to you and your household. And in the New Testament, it's not on the sides of our door. It's applied to us. And we contact that blood, Romans 6, 3, 4, and 5, when we're baptized into Christ. That's when we apply that blood. And the people bowed the head in worship, and the children of Israel went and did so as Jehovah had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass at midnight that Jehovah smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, and to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, and he and all of his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And in the judgment day, there's probably going to be a lot of people bewailing the fact that they're not right with God, but it'll be too late. And at this point, Pharaoh says to Moses and Aaron, get out. Friends, the dead are saying, do what God tells you to do to not die and to be delivered from death and destruction. And we can be delivered from that second death, that hellfire. Second death is mentioned in the book of Revelation for hellfire. Revelation 21:8. But you've got to apply the blood of Christ in baptism. And an unfaithful Christian, 1 John 1:7 through 9, needs to come back to Christ and apply that blood in confession and repentance and prayer. So that's what Moses would say. He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood that the destroyer of the firstborn should not touch them. We're not going to be touched if we will do what God says. Well, friends, I'll close with that. And Lord willing, next week, we will pick up with Moses and the Israelites and the faith that they exhibited while leaving Egypt. We will look at Jericho later. We will look at Rahab. And as time permits, we will look at others. These individuals have been dead for many years, but they are speaking to us. So, what did we learn today? Follow God instead of man. Do what God commands instead of what man commands. Number two, make the choice to serve God over everything else that might be found in life. Number three, be willing to leave, even if it means people getting mad at us. Leave that old way of life. And number four, apply the blood of the Lamb in order to be delivered from death. These are living messages for us today that are so important. And if we can help you to do those things that we've talked about, let's get together and let's do that. Let's study and let's learn to obey the gospel. And if I can help you to do that, please contact me. I'm so glad that you've joined us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.